Luke chapter 24 this morning, the Gospel of Luke according to chapter 24 this Easter Sunday. Have you ever noticed in life that from time to time our expectations do not match reality? There may be things that we have expected to go a certain way, things we expected to finish, things we expected to receive, things we hoped for that are not being experienced in our current realities. Easter and other special occasions like Easter illustrate this well. In our family, I think about the times that we have all dressed a specific way. This Easter Sunday morning, we're all wearing blue of some form. And I guarantee you that at some point during the day, the goal is to get a family picture with everyone still looking handsome and beautiful, every hair in place, no food stains on the clothing, and smiles and shimmering eyes all around. You know how that goes every single time, don't you? I can look back at pictures from past Easters, Christmases, birthdays, so on, and somebody's always crying. Somebody always has a sour expression. Somebody always has food on their face or gunk in their eyes. It happens that way every single time. And you probably know how that is. Even thinking back over this past week or weekend, you probably had some plans in mind, some expectations that you wanted to see done and fulfilled. I think about going to bed Friday night, fully expecting to get a full night's sleep, only to have the baby wake up every 45 minutes to an hour all night long. The whole family came to go and pray on Saturday, yesterday morning. Then we went home. My goal was to eat a quick lunch, to give my son a haircut, and then by 1 o'clock to be studying. That plan was blown up before lunch. We were doing some different things. Michael took a break from cleaning his room to go use the restroom. A few minutes later, he and his two siblings came out screaming, and I spent the next 2 hours plus dealing with a flood in the bathroom. Yes, expectations do not always match reality, rarely ever. Have you found that to be true in your life? While some of our expectations do match reality, most do not. And most of those that do not are ultimately not that important or essential, and we even laugh about them later. But other expectations that do not match reality are a big deal. The truth is, for many of us this morning, the expectations we had for our lives are falling short. And it's been painful. I expected that my marriage was going to look different. I expected that I was going to stay in remission. I expected to be able to retire. I expected to have met someone by now. I expected, you fill in the blank. I'm convinced that many of us find ourselves in a place this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday, in a place where our expectations have not and do not match reality. In some ways, we feel like life has failed us. We're not the first to experience this. In Luke 24, I want us to read. In this passage of Scripture, we're going to read a lengthy passage, but I want you to follow along as we see this come to fruition in verses 13 through 35 of this text. The Bible declares, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone first, and constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Think about Resurrection Day from the perspective of the disciples. Think about the whole weekend. It was an emotional roller coaster of a weekend and a day for them. Can you imagine them trying to finish out Passover week and the Sabbath after Jesus was betrayed, arrested, beaten, and nailed to a cross? Going through the celebration of the Passover, going through the rituals of the Sabbath, all while hiding in fear that those who had taken and killed Jesus might come hunting them down too. The passage that we read is the record of what was most likely the fourth resurrection day of appearance of Jesus. As we have celebrated the resurrection many times in our lives, it may be difficult for us to really connect with and relate to the position of these disciples. And yet Luke 24 calls upon us to do just that. It is the most detailed account of the state of mind of Jesus' followers during that time, as well as what Jesus did and said to change the disciples. Luke takes us on the 7-mile stretch from Jerusalem to Emmaus, where two disciples, Cleopas and likely his wife Mary, who is mentioned in John 19:25, were traveling home following the celebration, the festival. They'd been in Jerusalem for the week of Passover, for the Sabbath, and now on Sunday, they were journeying back home to their place. But we don't find them returning as they probably had in years past. We don't find them as celebrating worshipers who had just experienced a memorable Passover week in celebration. We find them as downcast souls whose hopes had been dashed. 3 days before that morning, Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom many had come to believe was the Messiah, had been crucified. They themselves had been involved in worshiping and following him, but now he was dead. And with him died the expectations they had about a chance at a life of freedom. They never saw this ending in the death of the one who was going to be their rescuer. And the realities of Jesus' death were difficult for them to bear. And as they made that 7-mile trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they discussed and grieved together. When seemingly out of nowhere, they were joined by one they took for a stranger. They should have known him. They should have recognized and rejoiced in their Savior. Could you imagine walking down the road when suddenly a man that you saw crucified just 3 days earlier comes alongside you? If you recognize him, wait, you're still alive? We heard a report today that you were raised from the grave, and here you are. And they would have rejoiced in him, but they didn't even recognize him. So how could they rejoice in him? The Bible says there in Luke 24 that their eyes were holden, verse 16, that they should not know him. The word means to hold or seize. And Jesus himself noticed their condition. He noticed that they were distressed, that they were grieving. He even asked them the question, verse number 17, why are you so sad? Why are you grieving and mourning today? Their response is very telling. I want you to notice especially verse 21. Notice what they say here. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They were incredulous that Jesus didn't know the events that had just taken place. They assumed that he was a Jew who had been in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. They assumed he had been there, known everything that was going on, even though they didn't know him. And so when Jesus asked them, what are you talking about? And they say, well, the things that have happened in Jerusalem the past few days. And he says, what things? And they're like, how in the world could you not know this about Jesus and what place? And then they say what we just read in verse 21, we trusted that it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel. Trusted in the language is in the imperfect tense. That identifies an action that starts and stops in the past. They didn't choose their words coincidentally, accidentally, without really thinking about what they were saying. We trusted. At some point in the past, when they had met Jesus, heard his words, seen his works, they believed in their hearts, this is the one who's going to redeem Israel. But now that he is dead, that belief has fled away. Because of the events of that weekend, they lost hope. What they expected in their mind had not come to fruition. Their expectation had not been fulfilled in reality. Friends, today maybe that's true of you. Maybe your life circumstances have made you feel like you are alone. Maybe you've even begun to question the love of God for you. However, there's something you need to recognize in this story that this account from the scripture suggests to us. It leads us to understand that even though we may not recognize, notice, or acknowledge Jesus, it does not mean he is not there. Here they were walking along the road, grieving what had taken place. They'd lost hope. They'd lost faith. They were even questioning what God was doing. Jesus showed up. Though they didn't recognize him, though they didn't notice that it was he, though they didn't acknowledge, even though they'd heard the report that he was risen, Luke 24 tells us earlier as we read that the disciples believed what the women said was just idle tales. They didn't believe them. They had heard that report. Here Jesus was. They don't recognize him. They don't notice him. They don't acknowledge him or the report that he rose as he said he would. And yet, Jesus was right there. There may be times in your life as you're going through this journey of life, and your expectation is not what you see in reality. And you may be even beginning to question God, his love for you, his care for you, his presence in your life. You look about and you don't see any evidence that he is there. Friends, you may not recognize, notice, or acknowledge him, but understand today, he is always there. He's there. Perhaps on this Easter morning, you can relate to Cleopas and that other disciple. You've had a sense for a long time that you've been walking this road of life, and the expectations you had for how things should go have not been met. You may feel like God has failed you. Maybe even in some ways it feels like a death. You felt that you're walking alone. You've cried out for answers, and God is nowhere to be found. But here is what I am convinced of. It is possible. It is possible to feel abandoned and left alone, and all the while, Jesus is walking with you. Our circumstances can change, but our God's presence does not. Cleopas and his wife thought it was over, thought their hopes were gone. They thought it was finished. However, like an American novelist once said, there will come a time when you believe everything is finished. That will be the beginning. Jesus was there. Jesus knew what they were going through. But rather than immediately revealing himself, he invited them to share their hearts with him openly and honestly. Does it almost seem cruel to you that Jesus shows up and questions them like he doesn't know what's going on? Does he mean? You know, like when I watch as my son punches one of his sisters and she comes running to me crying and I go, "What are you crying about?" Jesus knew what they were sad about. Jesus knew what they were talking about. And even after they say, "Hey, we're talking about and we're grieving about all that has transpired in Jerusalem the last few days," that might be the time when you think Jesus would step in and say, "Hey, don't you recognize me? Don't you recognize my voice? Let me show you the nail prints in my wrists." Like he would say to Thomas, "Why don't you reach hither your hand and drive it into the wound that's in my side where they pierced me?" You might think right then and there Jesus would say, "Hey, look, it's me, I'm here, I'm alive." But he doesn't. He presses on. What things? What happened in Jerusalem the last few days? "Well, Jesus, you ought to know." That's kind of their response, isn't it? Even though they don't know it's him, how could it be you've been in Jerusalem and you don't know about the things of Jesus? And they share with him. Jesus, though, in inviting them to share their hearts with him, even though he could have avoided all of that and just said, "Hey, it's me," Jesus was inviting them to share their hearts with him openly and honestly, demonstrating his heart as God. That he is close to those who are broken in heart. Psalm 34:18, the Bible declares, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Have your failed expectations or the expectations that you've had that haven't lived up to reality, has that ever left you in that place of a broken heart? Yeah, some of them aren't that important, and we can laugh about it later. But some of them are important. Some of them are painful, and it leaves us with a broken heart. Understand today, God invites you into relationship with him. God invites you into a fellowship with him where he invites you to openly and honestly share with him what is on your heart. And he tells us that he is nigh unto those who are of a broken heart. I thought, as I thought on this, about how much I like the Psalms. Do you enjoy reading through the Psalms? Especially the Psalms of David. David is found in the Psalms It's a blessing to see his heart as revealed in the Psalms, because I realized that David was a man like I was. There were times he questioned. There were times he doubted. There were times he was downcast and downtrodden. There were times he was discouraged. There were times he looked about to see what God was doing and where God was, and even cried out, "God, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you allowing my enemies to have victory over me? God, why aren't you fulfilling your promises to me?" You read the Psalms and you'll find out pretty quickly that David was a man like we are, a man with hurts, pains, failures, regrets, struggles, brokenness. Yet we try to hide all that, don't we? We come to church on Easter Sunday looking the best. You might stand in front of the mirror Sunday morning and practice your smile to make sure it looks genuine instead of fake, plastered on your face. Especially on a day like today. A high and holy celebration when everyone comes in their finest and put on these smiles and take pictures and pretend that everything is good, when the truth is, perhaps even for many in this auditorium today, everything is not good. For many, a brokenness exists that we have been taught that we can't show to the world. We can't let them see it. So instead of naming and identifying it, instead of being open and honest about it, we push it down and act like everything is fine. Friends, can I remind you that Jesus stepped into this world because it is a broken world? Jesus stepped into the brokenness of our lives and world. He broke into our brokenness. He witnessed it. He experienced it. And he invites us to bring it all to him. He broke into the brokenness of our lives. In doing so, he offers us new life. And he reveals to us a God whose love never fails. Jesus listened to them. I love that, don't you? Man, Jesus, why are you being so mean, making them share? No, he was listening to them, inviting them into that relationship and fellowship, telling them it was okay to be open and honest with him. But as he did, he revealed to them the desire of God to be close to those who are broken in heart. It was his love for people that made him do that. It was his love for people that held him to the cross. It was his love for people that rose him up from the grave. And it was his love for people that caused him to walk along the road with them and hear their hearts. His love failed them from beginning to end. Oh, the expectations weren't what they thought they would be. But God was there. He broke into their brokenness, offered them new life, and revealed a God whose love never fails. Friends, remember it. When your expectations go unmet, God is one whose love never fails. As you go through this life, and some of those broken expectations, those unmet expectations, are hurtful, they're painful, you begin to question God and wonder where he is and what he's doing. You may not recognize, notice, or acknowledge him, but he is there, and his love has not, is not, and will never fail you. He listened to them. But I want you to notice he didn't just listen to them. It's not unfailing love to listen to someone who has hurts and brokenness and leave them there. That's not love. Love listens to the pain. Love listens to the hurt. Love listens to the brokenness. Love gets involved in the brokenness. But then love goes beyond and offers a solution. And that's exactly what Jesus did. After listening for a time, he spoke up. He rebuked them in relation to their understanding and their feeling. Notice, if you would, there again in verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Fools, he rebuked their wrong understanding, slow of heart to believe. That had to do with their feeling, their response to the truth. And from that point, Jesus took the word of God and he showed them from the Old Testament, beginning with Moses, going through the Psalms and continuing through the prophets, and showed them from the scriptures all the things concerning him. Could you imagine listening to that sermon? Oh, friends, I've had some sermons in my lifetime that have touched my heart that I've heard. But wouldn't it have been wonderful to stand and walk along the road with them and to hear Jesus preach the gospel from the entire Word of God? What a privilege they had. Jesus realized as he walked along with them and conversed with them that they had interpreted the scriptures incorrectly. They had not seen Jesus crucified, buried, and risen again. They had mistakenly thought that to redeem Israel meant that finally the ones who had the power over them for a long time, he would overthrow and set up his own kingdom, that they would have the power for themselves. That was redemption to them. We had trusted that this would be the one who would redeem Israel, get rid of the Roman conquerors, give us back power to rule over ourselves. That was what they thought of redemption, but they got it all wrong. Jesus opened the scriptures to them, explaining once again the story of God from beginning to end, that all the things in the scriptures ultimately are the story of Jesus Christ and the real redemption that he came to give. One Bible author put it this way: like everyone else in Israel, they had been reading the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope. They had been seeing it as a long story of how God would redeem Israel from suffering. But it was instead the story of how God would redeem Israel through suffering. His suffering and death. No wonder why they were confused by the death of their Messiah. That is not how it was supposed to go, and yet this was how it was supposed to go. That is what unfailing love looks like. And you see, friends, today, your life hasn't lived up to the expectations you had for it. You experience the brokenness of this world over and over and over again. And you think that somehow God has failed. His love has failed. But friends, you need to understand, like these needed to understand, that our redemption isn't what we would hope, perhaps, or think it might be. Our redemption isn't about giving us a perfect life with no disappointment. Our redemption isn't about, you know, we've become a Christian, we're following Jesus, and everything should go perfectly. We think that should cause us to avoid all the pitfalls and frustrations of life. We think that we can live with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world, only to find out it doesn't work that way. That's not what our redemption's about. God didn't save you to give you your best life in the here and now. God saved you to remove the condemnation of your sin so that you could enjoy sweet life with him in the sweet by and by in eternity. But even as you go through this life, as you experience the brokenness and the expectations that don't measure up, understand he's with you, though you may not see him. He himself broke into the brokenness of our lives to offer us new life and to reveal a God to us whose love never fails. They reached Emmaus. Jesus acted as if he was going to continue down the road, and they invited him in, still not recognizing him. But as they sat down in their home, Jesus took the position of host. In that day and in that culture, it wasn't necessarily the person who owned the home who was the host. It was the most important person in the room. They didn't recognize Jesus as Jesus, but they recognized he was more important than they were. And he became the host. And as Jesus broke the bread, suddenly the Bible declares to us their eyes were opened. Whatever it was that was keeping them from recognizing him, suddenly the scales fell away and they knew it was Jesus. And he disappeared. He vanished. And they ran back to Jerusalem to tell all of Jesus' disciples that he was alive. Experiencing Jesus on that dusty road suddenly changed everything. Their hope was gone. They were grieving, sad. Their expectations hadn't measured up. Praise God, he doesn't act according to our expectations, because what he offers us is much better than what we could have ever expected. What Jesus was explaining along the dusty road is that the way things truly change, beyond the circumstantial to the eternal, is not through power, but through sacrifice. It wasn't about him coming and setting up a throne. It was about him coming, living the life we could not live, dying the death we deserved to die, and rising again so that we too could experience life with him eternal. New life in Christ. Friends, that's what he offers you today. When he rose from the grave and walked out of that tomb, in doing so, he broke the power of sin, death, and the hell, and he now offers you his life, eternal life with him. He invites you to give it up, give everything else up, to find what he offers. Easter is about Jesus and his resurrection to life. We celebrate not only because he came back to life, praise God for that, but our celebration isn't limited to the truth that he is alive today. We celebrate because his life is the source of our new lives. If you sense the brokenness of your life, come to Jesus, who broke into your brokenness, offers you new life, and reveals a God whose love never fails. Believe on him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, this Easter Sunday, I invite you to come and believe on Christ. And if you have, that's not the sun solution to your life suddenly having no problems. You'll still experience expectations that go unmet. You'll still experience failure, frustration in life. When you do, child of God, remember that you have a God who exceeds expectations, who is always there and whose love never fails. Lean into him and live in and out your new life in Christ as you walk through this life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I am thankful today that the resurrection declares to us a God whose love never fails. Perhaps you're here today, and this message has been for you. And it's been for you because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to believe on Christ. You need to trust him. The Bible declares that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, if that's you today, I invite you right now, wherever you are, here in this auditorium, watching or listening by way of the internet, right where you are, to right now call out to the Lord. Believe that he died for you, was buried and rose again. Believe that he is the only one who can rescue you from the brokenness of sin, the condemnation of sin that will send you to an eternal place of punishment called hell. But if you believe on Jesus Christ, he'll save you, he'll forgive you, he'll give you new life, eternal life with him in heaven. Child of God, perhaps today God is speaking to your heart. You've been crushed by expectations that haven't been met. You feel that God has failed you. You've begun to question God and wonder where he is. And God has spoken to your heart today to remind you, to call upon you to remember that he is with you. He is walking the road with you. He is there for you. And he'll never fail you. Maybe today you need to make a commitment to lean into him, to depend upon him as you walk through that time of trouble and pain. You need to commit to him to live in and out your new life in Christ as you walk this road of life. Whatever it may be, friends, remember this today. Jesus broke into the brokenness of your life. You new life and reveals a God whose love does not fail.